Today is Monday, June 29th, and we're going to continue our study on our Tuesday night Bible study about John the Baptist, and especially from John 1, verse 30, where John recognizes his subordinate role to Jesus, and it kind of sprung off into a study of how Jesus also seemed to assume a subordinate role with God the Father. And it raises some questions such as, how can that be? How is that possible if they're all one? Last time together, we shared some scriptures that show that Jesus and the Father are one. They're equally one. They're fully God. And today, we're going to be looking at some of the scriptures that show this voluntary subordination or deference that Jesus has towards his Father. And we'll then discover why. So thanks for joining with us. Let's go ahead and get started. Now, as we're looking at these passages, I want you to realize that the appearance, of course, is the fact that God himself, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, co-equal with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, for all eternity existing as the second person of the Trinity, appears to place himself under subjection and under subordination to God the Father. And of course, it raises questions that have been debated by the church for literally centuries about the nature of God the Father, the nature of God the Son, the nature of the Holy Spirit, and how their relationship together as a cohesive unit functions. And we find that they are equal in essence, equal in character, equal in substance, all fully God. Yet they take on a different role when it comes to relating to you and I. And these roles are voluntary, and these roles do not diminish their character or worth or essence of being fully God. Let me just give you a couple verses that show this subordination that Jesus placed himself under while he was here on earth to God the Father. Let's go to a classic passage. John 3:16. We all memorized that as a young child in Sunday school or vacation Bible school. It's probably the most quoted verse in all of Scripture. For God, this is God the Father, so loved the world that God gave his only begotten Son, his one and only and unique Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The impression here is that God had something and decided to give what he possessed, his unique Son, for the sake of the world. And there is implied in this verse, if you read it that way, that one is superior to the other. The Son is the possession of God the Father. God the Father then gives his Son to the world as this sacrifice. Whoever believes in his Son should not perish but have everlasting life. And if you just read it on the surface, it could confuse you as it has confused believers for centuries. But this is a voluntary submission that Christ is having to fulfill the will of his Father as a model and a type as to how you and I are to respond to God the Father. 1 John 4:9 says this, "In this the love of God was manifested towards us, the love of God the Father." What was it that manifested that love? That God the Father sent his only begotten Son, his one and only unique Son, into the world that we might live through him. It's like a restatement of John 3:16. But again, you have God the Father who seems to possess something and is directing and sending as a subordinate his Son. We know that's not true from the teaching of Scriptures, but it's a voluntary carrying out of God the Father's will. John 6:37-39. This is Jesus speaking. And listen to what he says. All that the Father gives me will come to me. That implies, on the surface, that Jesus doesn't possess something, and the Father does, and the Father has taken something that he possessed, giving it to the Son, and because God is sovereign, God the Father is sovereign, that everything that he gave to the Son will come to the Son. not as equals, but as one possessing something, transferring it to his son, like in our relationship with our own sons and our own fathers, where they pass things down to us. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Why? For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. In other words, I'm coming down as an employee. I'm coming down as some sort of subordinate. I'm coming down as a servant of the greater of God the Father. This is the will of the Father who sent me, not my will, but the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last day. When you read this passage again on the surface, you see Jesus clearly deferring to God the Father. God the Father has a will, and I'm coming to fulfill that will. God the Father has certain things that he has given me, the lives of the elect, and of all those that he gives to me, I will not cast out. I will raise them up at the last day. I will complete the mission that God the Father has given me. But these are two equals, because everything that God the Father possesses, the Son possesses. And God the Father is no more God than God the Son or God the Holy Spirit. If you remember when we talked last time about the essence of the Trinity, the three key ingredients of the Trinity, that for all eternity, God exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When you see one, you see the other. They are all equally God, and yet there is one God. We see this, of course, in the teaching of Jesus, where he tells Philip, and we talked about that last time, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because the Father and I are one. We exist, God, in three persons. And then he, later on in that chapter, he says that I will send you the other person of the Trinity. I will send you another helper. And the word another, of course, is another of the exact same kind, just like me. So if you want to know what God the Father's like, you look to Jesus. If you want to know what the Holy Spirit is like, that Jesus is sending another just like him to us to live in us forever, the Spirit of Truth, John 14. So there is one God that exists, not manifest himself in three different personalities, but exist for all eternity as three persons. And yet there is just one God, and each of those three persons are fully God. Therefore, if I want to know what God the Father's like, he's just like Jesus Christ. If I want to know what the Holy Spirit's like, he's just like Jesus Christ. And if I want to know what Jesus Christ is like, he's just like the Father and the Son. Yet Jesus is not the Father is not the Spirit, and the Spirit is not the Son. So when they came to earth, they assumed certain roles that they would subordinate themselves to God the Father in order to fulfill the will here for a type and a picture of how we're to relate to the Godhead. Again, John 6, 37 through 39. These are one equal talking about another equal, but subordinating himself voluntarily to fulfill God the Father's will. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me, an equal who sent another equal. So the equal who was sent, the Lord Jesus Christ, came voluntarily. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he, the Father, has given me, of course, there's nothing the Father has that the Son doesn't have, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last day. Jesus Christ voluntarily revealed himself to us as coming from the Father to do the Father's will, to show us respect, to show us responsibility and duty, and to show us true humility, even humbling himself to the point of the cross. The second thing that we need to understand that this verse points out is that Jesus lives to do the will of his Father. and not of himself. In other words, our job is to do the will of one who saved us, who redeemed us, who chose us from the foundation of the world. And Jesus modeled that for us in his relationship with the Father. Humbling himself, placing himself as a servant under the will of his Father, not speaking of his own accord, but only what the Father tells him. Let me real quickly run through just a couple more verses that play this out for us, that Jesus lives to do the will of his Father and not of himself. John 8, 28 and 29. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he," the he is italicized. "Then you will know that I am the name of the Old Testament God that Moses met in the burning bush in the book of Exodus, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, I speak these things, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him." Just like we're to always do the things that please God, the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Holy Spirit who lives within us. John chapter 5, verse 30, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." John 14, 28, "You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going back to the Father." Note this, "for my Father is greater than I." Is greater than I. Again, Jesus and the Father eternally exist as separate persons, but they are both fully God, and yet there is only one God. That's why Jesus says, "I don't do my own will, because my will is the same will as my Father. My will is the same will as the Holy Spirit." There's not disunity within the Godhead where they have a vote and the majority wins. They are still one God existing, not manifesting themselves, but existing as three persons. And yet each one is fully God, fully God. Last one before we close for today, John 5, 18 and 19. "Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." The Jews recognized what Jesus was saying. "So then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, because the Son's will is the same will as the Father's will and the Spirit's will, because they are one God. But what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner, because they all have the same mind. They are the same God existing eternally as three persons." Now, Jesus here is placing himself under subjection to God the Father, saying, "I don't do anything of my own accord," which may be separate from God the Father, because whatever he does, whatever I see him do, is the same thing I am doing, the same thing the Holy Spirit does, because there is still one God. This was incredibly confusing for the church, as you may be confused now. And the church spent a lot of time in its early foundations for several centuries trying to work out and try to understand the relationship within the Godhead and what the Trinity was all about. And tomorrow we're going to be looking at some of the fallacies about the Trinity and how it really functions according to Scripture. I'm looking forward to sharing with you tomorrow. But until then, have a great evening.